Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mliwa Kabaza, and for today we're talking about how technology is being used in supply chain financing. We've been, you know, talking to a number of fintech companies on this platform that are trying to help businesses in one way or another with working capital, just making sure that things are all good and well. And for today, we're dealing with Addendum Financial Technologies, and on the line we are joined by Tokelo Motlo, who is a supply chain finance specialist, to just give us some insight into the business and what they are doing. Tokelo, greetings to you, and just a little bit around the company.
Thank you, Mudio. So Addendum Financial Technologies has been around for just under 6 years now. We're the leading supply chain finance implementer and solutions provider on the continent. We're in not just South Africa, but we're in Kenya, Nigeria, trying to make inroads in Zambia. And yes, we essentially provide companies and their suppliers with working capital solutions.
And when it comes to that specifically, what does that actually mean? Because I think for some of our listeners who might not fully understand some of the terms by like supply chain financing, working capital, let's just break it all down.
So supply chain finance is essentially a buyer-driven initiative, okay? So many times companies will go to their suppliers and ask for either an alignment of payment terms. So for instance, let's say somebody moving from 14 days to 30 or 60-day payment terms, right? And that could be for process efficiencies. They just want to make, you know, a payment on one specific day. For a myriad of reasons, companies, big organizations will do that. Where we come in with supply chain finance, we say to a buyer, we say, can we plug into your ERP system and then give access to your suppliers, you know, give them a portal in which they can view all their invoices. And then the supplier can, you know, actually trade that invoice and not have to wait for the specified terms from their buyer. Okay, so that injects working capital into the supplier's business because now they can get cash immediately as opposed to waiting for 30, 60 or even 90 day payment terms.
So with that in mind, how has the business actually been, and on what point do you guys actually make money?
Okay, so our business essentially, I'll answer the second question first and then delve deeper into how the business has been and, you know, implementation partners, that sort of thing. But how we make money is that because it's a buyer-driven initiative, suppliers get access to their buyer's cost of funding. Right. So I'll just mention, you know, three company names that are in the public domain. So we implemented this program, a supply chain finance program for ExxonMobil, for Dis-Chem and Distal. And we won global awards for those three programs in 2016, 2018 and 2019. So an ExxonMobil or a Dis-Chem or Distal, for instance, will get a very cheap funding rate. Right. Because the banks know them, you know, the public listed companies. So Their funding rates will be prime less 2%, less 3% in some instances, or 2.5%, whatever the case is. And then we just add a few basis points on top of that. So then what happens is when a supplier logs onto our platform, they see an all-in rate of, say, prime less 2%, right? Which is about 5% in this current environment. And that's essentially how we make our money. It's a scale based business. So we have to have a lot of suppliers coming onto the portal, onto our platform, and trading those invoices. I'd like to highlight that our platform is, we're a platform provider rather to a company that's based in Atlanta. It's called Prime Revenue. They process about $200 billion in these invoice trades on the platform.
Before we sort of talk about how the business is actually going, because I'm trying to see if I can follow what's going on. You're saying that the companies that are being supplied to, whether it's Distal, ArcelorMittal, etc., they can get, I guess, better funding rates because they're big, they've got track records, they're listed, etc. And then they pass on some of those, then they can offer a more attractive funding rate. And then you guys put a markup on that, but then what the supplier sees is the full rate, and then you guys take on the margin from the difference, and then it becomes a volume game.
100%. So to elaborate a bit further, so let's say a buyer's cost of funding is prime less 2. We'll add, let's say, 50 basis points, right? Like by way of example, and It varies for different buyers and different programs. But what the supplier will see is a rate of prime less 1.5%, right? And then and that's the rate at which they'll discount the invoices at. So we it's a very it's a few basis points that we add, and it's very, very tiny. One person actually asked if we're a non-profit or not, and we actually elaborate on our business model a bit. But the supply store is from a net benefit perspective far better off because a rate of primeless 1.5% is highly attractive.
Okay, cool. And then I think the last one on this particular point, because I know that there'll be people listening and trying to understand, they might not fully get all the prime minus and all of that. If we then use a simple example, I supply something to a company and what's owed to me is 1,000 rand, and instead of waiting 3 months or 90 days to get that 1,000 rand, on the day of delivery or within a week, etc., can I get access? Will I get my full 1,000 rand? I think that's the practical level that a lot of small businesses just want to know and understand.
100%. So how it works is you won't get the 4,000 rands, okay? You'll get, let's say, 995 rands, okay? So how it works is you would get a username and password to come onto our platform. There's a very simple registration and onboarding process. So as a supplier to a big corporate, come into our platform, and then you'll see all the invoices for which you've delivered goods and services for, okay? And then you'll see the rate at which you can sell those invoices, and it's a the rate changes and varies day by day, because the rate at which you discount for is based on the number of days you're discounting for. So if the maturity date of that specific invoice, let's say you deliver today, and then you expect some payment in 60 days' time, if you discount today, it will cost you, let's say, 1%. If you leave it for 30 days, it will cost you 0.5%. Most businesses understand in plain vanilla invoice discounting or debtors finance, where, if you have a debtors financing facility with your bank, they'll advance you 80% of your money, and then the rest of the 20% less discounts and fees and all those sort of things is paid upon maturity. Our model is different in that it's the buyer that uploads the invoice, and the reason why you're getting such an attractive rate is because it starts with the buyer. And then when you log in, you can sell, that entire invoice, 100% true sale of that invoice to one of our funding partners.
Okay, cool. I think that helps us to explain a lot of things. So I guess now, how has business been?
I was laughing the other day with somebody just saying that it's like being an epidemiologist for business during COVID, because every single business struggled with working capital, right? So what we saw in the country, and I mentioned that one of our clients was the star, and when the initial lockdown happened, everything just stopped, right? Even our business went through a bit of trouble because they're quite a important customer of ours, but trade stopped happening, delivery stopped happening. It was quite brutal, those initial months of the lockdown. But as things eased a bit, we did see volumes coming back onto the platform. On our other programs, where we deal with some of the retailers in the country, volumes actually spiked because people were uncertain and people wanted to hold on to cash, or there were some other emergencies. Like, they didn't want to retrench people, for instance. I was dealing with a company, for instance, in Richards Bay that the supply chain finance solution helped them with retaining about 62 employees, right? They traded about 9 million rands on our platform and retained a large part of their business, right? And kept it flowing and that sort of thing. So on our end, it was okay. COVID didn't impact us as adversely as other businesses, and we got a lot of inquiries during this period because everybody was just struggling. I know that, unfortunately, in some instances, we couldn't help some companies because, as I elaborated on, our business model is based on buyers initiating these sort of programs. But definitely for the programs we've implemented, and there's over 25 of those on our platform, 25 buyer programs, we did see a lot of requirements for working capital.
And from what you can see, how would you contrast, because you did mention earlier on that you guys do operate in a number of countries within this region. How would you contrast the challenges or the conversations that are being had about working capital, you know, South Africa versus maybe surrounding countries. I think you mentioned Kenya and I think Zambia. Those are some of the countries that you mentioned earlier on. Are some of the challenges that you're seeing unique to, let's say, South Africa, or do you sort of see certain themes across the board?
What we've seen is the themes are very similar, right? The only difference is what I've experienced at least, and you know, the team and the company is that it is very much true that South Africa has very sophisticated financial infrastructure. By far the best on the continent. That's what we've seen because in some of the conversations we've had in some of the jurisdictions and countries we've dealt in, it's still very much paper-based processes. Like people are still doing things on Excel spreadsheets. So in these countries that we're operating in, we usually go in with a banking partner, right? And so they'll then go to the corporates who are their clients and broach these supply chain finance solutions. And it's always a boon for them because you know it's like, when do we sign up, right? Because we're moving something, process and efficiency from their daily operations. But I can tell you, like, it's been very, very difficult for a lot of businesses, all sorts of businesses. I think there are a few exceptions as to who fared a bit better in this economic climate. I mean, I'm sure you've read in the you know business press that Zambia right now is going through a credit squeeze, right? And that's likely going to impact a lot of things going into the supply chains, right? Like, they're running out of dollars, right? So that's a big problem and a great difficulty they're going to go through. But yeah, from a technology perspective, we are seeing a lot of uptake. People are liking our solution. It's a very nuanced solution to a large extent. But yeah, like it's most suppliers in any jurisdiction would like to get paid earlier, right? And particularly in this economic climate.
Okay, cool. The other thing I'm trying to understand, the technology part itself, because you were saying that that a supplier can gain access to sort of like a dashboard, and then you're talking about an ERP or enterprise resource planning integration. So from that point of view, what's the difference between what I as maybe the supplier see versus what the company that's being supplied to is seeing on your platform?
We interface with a buyer's ERP system because it gives funders the confidence regarding the contract, right? Like, so because an invoice is an obligation to pay by a buyer, right? One thing I should have highlighted earlier is that we don't do on balance sheet lending. So we work with all the big four banks in South Africa and a few non-bank financial institutions. So the reason why we plug into the ERP system is for, you know, the credibility, authenticity, traceability of an invoice. So a buyer uploads your invoice as opposed to you as a supplier coming and saying, I've got an invoice from Blue Chip X, right? In a typical scenario, if you're the supplier running and, you know, to a financial institution saying, I've got an invoice from a large multinational company, you know, how do you test out the veracity of that particular invoice? Okay. It's very difficult. You'd have to call them and there's all sorts of things. Unless if you know the particular supplier or you can get, you know, like get them into some contract where, you know, like you open a bank account under their name and, you know, you have to disclose to their buyer that they're doing this sort of invoice discounting, et cetera. So it's very arduous if a supplier is running with the process. With our model, because we tap into the or we interface with the ERP system, the banks, our funding partners, have the confidence that the authenticity of that invoice is legit, it's credible. And because they trust the addendum platform and, you know, like from a worldwide international perspective, it's trusted by a lot of buyers beyond our shores here. The banks are very happy to buy that invoice and pay the supplier for 100% of that invoice, less the discounting fee. And from a supplier perspective, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to interface or integrate with anything. The supplier just gets a username, onboards. And then they come onto this cloud-based platform, very easy to use, with maybe four clicks of a button. They can create a sell offer to their buyer and ask their buyer to, well, sorry, the funder, and ask the funder to, buy that invoice from them. And most often than not, the buyer is very happy to buy a Dis-Chem invoice, for instance, right? Or a Distell or Elementar invoice, because they trust the Addendum platform and the veracity of that invoice.
Okay, cool. And then the other one is just around the landscape itself, because on this platform, we've actually spoken to a number of companies that are doing a working capital, that are specializing in working capital for small businesses, technology firms, using their platforms and artificial intelligence to make credit assessments, etc. And that seems to be an area that is growing in the fintech landscape. So on your end, when it comes to supply chain financing, in South Africa, whether you're looking at it in South Africa or globally, who do you guys actually compete with? Because I think someone listening might think that, well, clearly these guys are trying to upend the banks, but it sounds like you guys have quite an intimate working relationship with the banks. So they sound like they are more partners than anything else. So who do you guys actually compete with? And are they competitors? I think we're making an assumption that they are competitors in the market.
100%. So there are competitors, and I should mention that this entire supply chain finance concept was actually pioneered by Citibank, right? Very, very early in the early 90s, they came with a platform solution. Supply chain finance has always existed as much as trade finance has for centuries, right? But the likes of Citibanks are around there. There are one or two other competitors in the landscape in South Africa that we do compete with. And we're more than happy to have competitors. Our estimate is that there's about 200 to 250 to 300 billion rands that's locked up in the economy. If every single company implemented a supply chain finance program, then that could filter down to all suppliers. So more than happy to have competitors, and they do very much exist. Regarding things like AI and those sort of things, for a lot of people are doing very pioneering things regarding decision making and credit and that sort of thing. But it's very, very difficult still to analyze the veracity of legal obligations using just machine learning and artificial intelligence, those sort of things. From our perspective, we've seen a lot of things happening in the marketplace. There's a lot that's being pioneered, but it's very difficult to beat the fact that a supplier can get their buyer's cost of funding. So even if there's decisions around how to fund the supplier and at what rate, using AI and machine learning. But if a supplier gets their buyer's cost of funding, which in most instances is a large corporate and a large multinational, that funding rate more often than not is better than what they'll get from any other institution. And that's why also the banks are more than happy to price these programs very cheaply. And that's why they're more than happy to collaborate with an Addendum, for instance, right? Because they trust the protocols we've put in place. They trust the system itself. They trust that the buyer, upon maturity of the invoice, is going to pay them back because it is a very large, credible multinational.
Certainly sounds like an interesting competitive landscape that you guys are dealing with, and also just how technology is being applied and some of the challenges that still survive. Because I think one of our common ways of thinking in this day and age, you think that technology is there to solve everything. But hearing you talking, it does sound like there are one or two things here and there that technology still, we haven't figured out exactly how to properly apply it, which I think is why this would be a good space to actually see how it evolves over time. So, given everything that's going on, what are some of the perhaps trends that you're seeing, and where do you see the sector going? Small businesses, they were hurt. Corporates were hurt during this lockdown and continue to be hurt during the lockdown. So how are you seeing the demand for the product that you guys are offering? Do you see more demand, as people are more stretched and economies are trying to recover? Like, where do you see that outlook going?
Regarding the industry in particular, it does seem, because we get a lot of data, a lot of enriched data, right? It does seem that the next evolution is not just system integration with a buyer, but looking at solutions from a supply perspective, right, and implementing things on a much lower level. So, and using decision-making tools and things like machine learning and AI. Like there's a bunch of companies that I've read about in the UK, for instance, who are using machine learning to vet and score a supplier's credibility, right, and give them a proper credit rating. Regarding economies and like corporates and where things are going as far as working capital and structured finance broadly and trade finance in particular, we're seeing a lot of companies, especially with this COVID thing, wanting payment certainty, right? We're seeing corporates wanting to pay a bit later in some instances, in most instances, I should say actually. And then we're seeing the suppliers wanting more early payment and companies you wouldn't even have imagined. Anyway, like it's like big corporates who also struggled because there were no trades or trades just just tanked, right? So they want to also reorganize their balance sheets a bit, right? And from a corporate perspective, these solutions make sense because I should add, like it's off balance sheet for them. It remains trade creditors. So let's say company X says, I want to go from 30 days to 60 days with my suppliers. On the one hand, as a corporate, they unlock working capital for themselves, right? Like 30 days worth of working capital of cash, right? Like hardcore cash, because we can delay payment for a month, that's been delayed and it's perpetual, right? And you've unlocked that bit of cash. And where we come in, and that's why our solution makes sense, we say, let it not impact your suppliers. And even if a supplier was on 30 days, for instance, 30-day payment terms, because our solution is there, they don't even have to wait for the 30 days that they were previously on. They can get money immediately. So it's sort of a win-win, like it's sort of the middle ground that the suppliers and the buyers get. And also, the other benefits of the funding rate being very cheap. And our feeling is has been that if every single corporate could implement the supply chain finance programs, as I mentioned, there's 250 to 300 billion rands in the economy that could be filtered down to every single supplier in these supply chains. And if a supplier gets payment certainty, as you can imagine, every single company has their own suppliers, right? Like, so a supplier to at the start, for instance, will have their own suppliers, right? And because for their own inputs. And if somebody has payment certainty, they can go to their own supplier and add a bit of payment certainty. So it filters down to the economy, to the small SME that's supplying very basic raw materials, right? It filters down to the farmer, if you're in the FMCG space, right? Like it just makes, from our perspective, it just makes sense economically. It makes sense for corporates to open up and help SMEs leverage their balance sheets.
As you're talking, I'm thinking to myself right now what some of the challenges have been for a business like yours in terms of possibly educating people or at least getting more suppliers to be onboarded onto your system, simply because supply chain financing, working capital financing, trade financing, all of these different parts of the equation are some of the most common problems that businesses, particularly in the smaller to medium space, which makes up the majority of commerce in a country like South Africa, that seems to still be a big issue. But if you guys are offering what you're offering, the question is, how come more people, aren't using it? What are some of the barriers that you guys are seeing in either people adopting the technology or at least educating people so that they can trust the platform? Because it does sound like something that's worth getting onto. But if we're still talking about working capital and financing and all of these things as a problem for businesses, then it means that there is a big part of the market that might still either not know of these solutions or is still hesitant to perhaps get involved with such solutions.
100%, spot on in regards to education the market, and that's why I asked you, for us to link up, right? Because it takes a while for it to sink in, for instance, from a buyer's perspective, that we just want to interface with your ERP system. It's entirely free. What we do need our resources. So people in procurement, for instance, who do deal with suppliers day to day, people in IT who will help us interface with the SAP or Oracle, or sometimes it's bespoke systems. And, you know, people in finance, right? Like who will be pushing the invoices onto the addendum platform and making changes to the ERP system, right? So the one part of it is that educating people is very, very difficult. You know, explaining it to them, to, you know, even a CFO or financial director. Now, we have to have numerous meetings for us to, you know, iteratively explain how a solution works. And then also, I think maybe a big part of it or a stumbling block is people or corporates dedicating those resources. Because on the blue chip side, it's literally free, right? A lot of the time, we don't charge a single cent to a corporate. And then from a supplier's perspective, the onboarding part, we've got a dedicated, addendum at least has a very dedicated onboarding and support team that just sits there with everybody, with every single supplier. As you can imagine, you know, we deal with so many industries that sometimes some people are not as sophisticated technologically as you'd like them to be, right? So that's why, you know, we've invested in an onboarding team so that, you know, the person who's supplying milk to a retailer, you know, like they're the farmer and then they've got somebody who packages it and then, you know, delivers it to the end retailer. That person who's sitting somewhere in the Free State or, you know, on their farm, they may not use technology much, right? Like they still invoice by hand, fill in the invoice, you know, using a pen and pad and sending it to their buyer via post, right? And then you're going to introduce something like this to them and say, here's a technology platform where, you know, you can sell your invoice and get immediate payment. And sometimes it is a bit arduous, but once you've trained, what we found is once you've trained somebody on the platform, as I mentioned, it's maybe four clicks of a button and then they can sell the invoice. It sort of becomes intuitive, right? And what's usually happened is because maybe we deal with a specific blue chip, a supplier will also be supplying that blue chip's competitor, for instance, right? And then, but the thing is that competitor hasn't implemented a supply chain finance program with either addendum or a competitor of ours. So usually suppliers just ask us, please, is this company on your platform also? Because I'd really like to sell those invoices. Your platform is so easy. It's better than my internet banking, you know, platform. It's better than all these things that I'm utilizing. Can you go chat to those guys or are those guys on your platform? That's how, you know, like the ease of use of our platform is for suppliers. And with the training that we do, we've got videos and, as I mentioned, an onboarding and support team that just sits there and helps everybody out. So it is difficult educating the market. It is very difficult getting in front of the decision makers and the blue chips and the corporates and the SOEs in particular, right? I don't think there's an SOE we haven't spoken to just saying, guys, like, you know, why don't you pay your suppliers earlier, right? Like, government has this massive agenda about, you know, payment certainty. It was, you know, even the president mentioned it earlier this year about, you know, suppliers being paid a lot earlier, government contractors, right? And we've seen every single SOE and said, please do this. And, you know, sometimes maybe they have different priorities, you know, maybe their debt burdens are just very, very high. But yeah, it's something that we feel very passionate about. I'm very passionate about this product. I've seen what it's done for retaining people's jobs during this COVID process, but I've also seen how suppliers have grown because they have this working capital mechanism. Somebody growing from, you know, R1 million in deliverables to a specific retailer to 10, 20 million rands today, because what they could do with selling that invoice on the platform at a very cheap rate is they could just reinvest in their business and buy and fulfill orders a lot quicker, right? So on our end, very passionate about the solution. Looking forward also to the you know, the evolution of the industry. And back to your point in question regarding AI and data, right? We really, really could be a bit better off as, you know, technology infrastructure providers to utilize data a bit better. And yeah, we'll see what the evolution of the industry looks like in a year or two. And hopefully Addendum is still at the forefront of pioneering these sort of solutions and, you know, adding value. Because that's the one thing we're also very passionate about. At the end of the day, it's are we adding value? And emphatically, what we get is a resounding yes from buyers and their suppliers.
So that's been us with Tokelo Motlo, who is from Addendum Financial Technologies, giving us some insight into their business, which is specializing in supply chain financing, using, going in with the corporates, getting in with financing houses, getting in with suppliers, helping people to get early payment for services that they deliver. He's saying that the lockdown has done a lot to decimate a lot of businesses, and they've been getting a lot of queries. And one of the things that they have seen is that some of the issues that businesses, that suppliers and buyers are having in South Africa are common to the other countries that they do operate in. Some of the interesting trends is that even large corporates that you'd expect to have a bit of a financial cushion are, looking at longer payment terms as a way to free up working capital for themselves. Also talking about the fact that technology is going to be a very big driver in just helping to assess some of the risk and making some of the processes easier. And he's also just talking about the fact that they're excited to see where their business model is gonna go next. And some of their clients, he mentioned the fact that they do work with some of the big names such as ArcelorMittal together with Distell.
This is Modiwa's Tech.
Addendum Financial Technologies, interesting business model when you look just at some of the issues that businesses are facing at the moment. Everyone is trying to preserve cash. Working capital has always been a challenge. Preserving cash has been a big theme due to the lockdown, whereas working capital has always been an issue, particularly some of the big corporates are paying their suppliers after the maximum, 85, 90 days. And a lot of businesses have either, lost their whole businesses or just not been able to thrive because of inability to access money that's owed to you sooner or at a faster rate. So when you hear some of the solutions that are out there that people are coming up with, it's quite good to see that there is this thinking. On top of that, is just thinking about the impact that it has on certain debt burdens, right? Because you get early access to your money minus a few basis points when it comes to receiving your money. It sounds like a better deal than actually going out and getting, let's say, short-term financing that carries with it a probably what's going to be a higher cost of financing. So these are all the things that business people have to be contending with and dealing with. And it's good to see that people are coming up with these solutions. But going forward, it's just good to just watch to see how the space is actually going to develop and actually work. The thing I'm particularly interested in is what Tokelo spoke about when he said trying to use artificial intelligence or AI or some type of a machine learning system to assess or to quickly vet suppliers before they get registered onto a platform like this. That could help and have a lot of implications going forward because, for example, if you have this registered profile with, Addendum for supplying one company, could you use that interoperably to gain yourself a supplier status in another company, or at least apply to become a supplier for another company using the assessment that a platform like Addendum has done as a way to show your ability to deliver or just to show that you are a credible supplier? These are all some of the things that could happen if people were to think around these issues. And then the last one, also just thinking about the financial strain that a lot of businesses have come under. What's actually going to happen? This is not about Addendum, but actually just general business practice. How are these conversations around working capital going to develop, especially over the next 6 months to a year? Businesses and suppliers are trying to get paid sooner. big corporates and buyers are trying to pay later. All of this in an effort to try and hold on to cash. So at what point are people going to meet a nice middle of some sort, or are we going to continue to have this tension? That's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter or #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashemaete. I've been Mudiyo Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. This has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning. We'll be right back.